Hi, welcome to this segment of Daily Bread with Jaya. I hope you're having an amazing day. And this is a podcast by the Holy Spirit You Channel. We are a whosoever will podcast and channel. Wherever you are in your walk, wherever you are in your process, in your progress, if that is what your intent are making in terms of your faith and your walk with the Lord, even if you're unsure of that right now, thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be talking, and I'm just probably going to read through, as far as I know right now, as I share with you often. Many times when I start the podcast, I have an idea of what I'm supposed to say, but Holy Spirit may, you know, he's navigating. At least I hope he is. I trust him to be, based on the leading of his Spirit, since that is the only way I know for me and for all of us as we choose it. We have to choose him every day and then trust him to lead us by his Spirit, even through the valleys of the shadows of death. And notice it says not into death, but in the valley of the shadow of it, which means that there is still light. So all of that being said, we're going to be talking about, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. As far as I know right now, I'm just going to read that scripture to you. And you can go, as I always encourage you to do, seek the Lord for yourself. Before we hop in, let me just say this. Here's one of those little turns, one of those little detours. Seek the Lord for yourself, because you and you alone will have to stand before God and give an account for how you use the resources of your life to build up other people's lives. You will have to give an account to God for how you use the resources he provided to you while you're in this earthen vessel. We all have to do that, each and every single one of us. So we have to learn that now, because we don't know the point of our transition. And once we have the point of our transition, see, there's no longer going asleep in faith and we're waiting for Christ to come. Christ has come. So there isn't a waiting period. There isn't a middle thing. When you transition out of this life. So the spirit and soul remain. The body, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, falls off. All of that being said, we're going to hop right into, oh, give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to read the scripture from the King James, and I think there are multiple. There are multiple scriptures, yep, based on what I'm, and I generally use, so you all know, I love to hold the Bible. I love to hold the Word and read it. But when I'm not able to do that, when I don't have it with me, I go to generally blueletterbible.org, BLB.org. And so what I'm seeing here is that, oh, give thanks, in those three words, exact phrase match, comes up 59 times in 19 verses in the KJV, or some form thereof. So I'm going to read today, I'm going to do something a little bit different, which is to actually give you the scripture reference and read the scripture. So we're going to start 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth. As I've shared before, if you have struggled with the King James, part of that is because of the words used and how they're used and what they mean. When you see ETH, it is equivalent to today's S. So endureth is endures forever. And we can make that change without necessarily changing the context, because as you know, in the Word of God, it says the word is not subject to interpretation. We will try and have and done these things. We have done interpretation. We have tried to interpret. We try to contextualize. But God said what he said. That's why there's mercy and grace. He said what he said. So if we were able to interpret and make it mean what we wanted to say, then we would have no need for mercy or grace, because he would be accepting of that. But there's mercy and grace because he said what he said. He told us what was happening, why it was happening, what we need to do, and what he's done to make sure it can happen. So then he says, the word is not subject to interpretation, which means all of us, regardless of how hard we try to make the Bible the flavor of the day, whatever we need it to be, he said what he said, not subject to interpretation. So you'll see, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You'll see that a number of times exactly that way. And when we see particular scripture, I mean, not scripture, not the actual scripture reference, but the scripture, the verse, the verbiage, repeated in that manner, he's making the point. Okay, mercy is here. So, 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Who? He, the Lord. And his, the Lord's, mercy endures or endureth forever. Psalm 105, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Whose name? The Lord's name. Make known his deeds among the people. He is not telling us, by the way, to go make up stuff to do that looks like it's Christ. Now, remember, this is Old Testament. So it is, on the one hand, it's speaking to the present, but it's also prophetic. We can't make the deeds of the Lord known. We can share our experiences, which is what I do by virtue of this podcast. We can share our experiences, information, revelation, things we believe God has said and that we know God has said or experienced, but only by the leading of the Spirit. Only by the leading of the Spirit. We're not supposed to be going around interpreting the word based on a current situation, what we desire, what we feel, what we think. The word is the word. It's not based on what we think. It's not based on how we feel. It's not based on how we treat each other. It's telling us there's something greater and there's something better, and you can choose to go or not. You can choose to agree or not, but the word is the word. He's going to meet us wherever we are. So don't let anyone ever tell you that you, because you did this or that, even me, I had to learn that. Well, because you look this way, did that, made this choice, didn't make that choice, it, all lies. Jesus will meet you where you are, but he's not going to leave you where you are. Whosoever will, come as you are. It also says all nations. So all nations represent all peoples. We may not be all in the places of origination for whatever reason. But he says all nations. All nations. All means all. So that's not up for discussion. The first time it was said that there was exclusion, the first time it was a lie. So we have to understand God loves all. He intends, desires for all to come, for all to receive his invitation. But he understands that many won't. For whatever reason, it doesn't mean that his word has changed. It means that he's honoring himself by his word, but we're still all accountable to the word. Call upon his name, make his deeds known among the people. So he's not saying go make up stuff to do. He's saying when you operate, you can share your experiences first and foremost. Share what you know about me. Woman at the well, I know a man. And a whole town got saved. She wasn't walking around proclaiming to be a prophet. She just went and said what she knew based on her experience with him, not on her imagination, not on somebody else's words. She told about her experience. That's all he's asking us to do. Now, anything that comes, any supernatural that comes out of the natural, first of all, the natural is motivated and fueled and moved and exists because of the supernatural. But anything more, miracles, signs, wonders, that comes as a result of that is because of our experience and our willingness to allow him to work through us. Well, Peter was healing me. No, he wasn't. Peter had just gotten filled with the Spirit, was walking, and people were healed in the shadow. Just remember, when you hear the word shadow, you have to have light to have a shadow. So shadows aren't just about darkness. They're about light, breaking, piercing darkness. Peter wasn't healing anybody. People was just walking. Peter was just walking through the people. Holy Spirit, the light, was doing the healing. Let's not get it twisted. All right. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Refer back to 1 Chronicles 16:34, exact same scripture. When you see that kind of repetition, he's trying to make a point. Not trying, he made the point. He desires for us to get it. Psalm 107, notice how all of these are verse 1s, or many of these are verse 1s. So he's not only repeating the point, he's putting it in the first place. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and because his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118, 29, two times in the same chapter. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, of course, the Psalms are also songs, so some of the repetition that you see in terms of the structural framework of a song is the repetition of a verse, or the repetition like we have right now, we just mostly do chants. But anyway, you see the repetition of a song, perhaps, or a poem. That brings home the point of, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Also, in many of today's worship services, depending on how you worship, where you worship, and all of those things, you have call and response. So there could be a statement made, and the statement reply is, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. So some of what you see in the Psalms in particular reflect those artistic interjections. Those are artistic repetitions. Nonetheless, they are included in what we call the Bible. So that means that we're supposed to understand the significance of the repetition as well. Psalm 136, verse 2, O give thanks unto the Lord, unto the God of gods. That's a whole nother, God of gods is a whole nother thing. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136, verse 3, O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. King of kings, Lord of lords, same person, God of gods, O give thanks to the Lord, O give thanks to the God of gods, O give thanks to the Lord of lords, same person. His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136, verse 3, O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136, getting tongue-tied, as you can tell. Psalm 136, verse 26, O give thanks unto God, the God of heaven, same person, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's just stop there because there are remaining matches, and I'll do some of those as the Lord leads another time, because it talks about us giving thanks, how we give thanks, what we're giving thanks for. There's a scripture that says, in everything give thanks, for this, whatever this is the will of the Lord for you. So we can say, and I'll get back to the other part in just a second, but we can also say, when the Lord says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, meaning the giving of thanks is the will of God for us. It's greater than what we do, which is whine and complain and moan and groan and blame and make excuses. He says the will of God for you in every circumstance and every situation you face is to give thanks, is thanksgiving, not just on the day we call Thanksgiving or the days we might call Thanksgiving. We talk about gratitude and all of those things. He's talking about a sincere place of thanksgiving, giving God thanks in everything. Wherever we might find ourselves, give God thanks, because this, the giving of thanks, as well as what we find ourselves in, is the will of God for us. Why do I say that? Because whatever it is part of the process, or he would not have allowed it. So as with everything, God has a multifaceted approach, a multifaceted strategy, for helping us to understand the supernatural significance of natural things, the supernatural significance of the existence of natural things, including, first and foremost, us as human race. So all of these things, here we go, all of these things that we do, where we're competing, I'm not talking about for fun, where we're competing and we're trying to drive each other into the ground, literally wipe whole cultures off the face of the earth. God is that's not how he works. Because effectively, when we do that, we're saying, okay, God didn't know what he was doing. He put us all here together so we could learn our lessons individually, right? Because we're going to have to, every one of us individually will have to give an account. That's why when I share what I'm encouraging you to do is, yes, if you can glean something from what I'm saying, from my experiences, so be it. Please do. But also take that and use it as you establish your relationship, as you enter into agreement and alignment with God for your process. We cannot claim to know God, to believe in God, and then do some of the stuff. We just can't, because that's not who he is. He didn't put us here to beat each other up. Has that happened? Yeah, sure it has. Why? Because of us. We're making those choices. God has already told us my way is higher. In him saying that, he's not saying that we are high. He's saying my way is higher, highest. You're not even high. And if you're thinking about substances, you know that's not what I'm talking about, so we're not even going there. He's saying, you're positionally speaking, you don't even realize how low you are. You don't realize, and the reason you can't accept me or acknowledge me is because you don't understand the depth, the gravity, the weight, whatever you want to call it, of where you are spiritually positioned. We talk about fruit, but understanding the fruit is key to understand the kind of position we were born into. The understanding and being able to observe and understand even Galatians 5, just that, if you don't do anything else, even just understanding what God is showing us there, we think he's insulting us because that's who we are. Ego wants to do everything. We're self-made. We were never self-made, have never been autonomous, have never been in control the way we think we are. If you have ever made one single plan that has gone awry, you should already know you're not in control. But we don't learn that way. We like the school of hard knocks. And so God says, okay, I'm just going to let you choose because I know you're not going to learn just by me telling you. So you get to make the choices. But I'm telling you, choose life, because that I'm pulling you by virtue of everything that I have done. I have given you the way, the truth, and the life. I am love, I am light. He's not doing that like many of us do to deceive us into a worse position. He's doing that because he and he alone understands the significance of the spiritual position we are in, that it does not lead to life until we agree that we want to be led into life. So many people, your life, mine, we've all been there to some degree in whatever form, some worse than others, some better than others. I don't know. But we've all been in a situation where we've desired something good, something pure from someone, and they have deceived us into believing. You know, that's why we say, fool me once. But no, some of us are fooled over and over and over again. And that's because at some point, we've chosen that. We want to believe better, and so we stick to, well, they really didn't mean that. So now we're deceiving ourselves. Then we have another saying. when people show you who they are, believe them. So that's to compensate for the fact that we keep letting people do the thing, right? We have all these little backup plans that don't work, by the way, because there's not deliverance from the spiritual position of not being able to discern purity and to want, because of how we've done things, holiness is a bad word, when really holiness is saying deliverance, freedom, joy, peace, life. It's not any of the things we've been told it is. present your body a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. He's not telling us to be holy. He's saying, just present it to me. Just come with me. Just let's take a walk. This is what this thing called life is. Let's just take a walk. And guess what? Through that walk, we're going to go through a few things. Go read Psalm 23. That's about the walk. That's the process. The Lord is my shepherd. What do shepherds do? They lead sheep. They make sure sheep are protected and safe. Good shepherds, not hirelings. They make sure the sheep are cared for and protected, the newborns as well as the older ones, as well as the mature ones. The shepherd makes provision for the sheep. The shepherd ensures by anointing their heads with oil that they do not hang themselves because their wool gets hung on a sharp rock or caught. He anoints the eyes so the bugs don't get in there while they're traveling. A good shepherd, which the Lord is, makes sure every sheep has what they need. Told you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, the good shepherd, the one who's looking out for you even when you don't agree. And when we show even the slightest desire to want to know him and to want true life, which is only in him. See, we have problems with absolute terms. Well, it can't only be in that. Who else gave his life? Who else gave their life on a cross? Was died, was buried, and resurrected. Not only that, was pinned between two other crosses. Looked at one because they acknowledged and believed while they were in their criminal state on the cross. Looked at the other. Looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Still did not condemn the other. He was making his choice. He made his choice. He had the same choice. Who else took your sin to the cross when they hadn't done anything at all? Who else did that for you? For his mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment is the absolute nature of God. That is why no flesh can glory in his presence. These are spiritual principles impacting, influencing, fueling every single one of our lives right now and forevermore until we transition out. But in terms of the human race itself, that's always been the case. Don't get it twisted. God's nature is absolute. That's why he said, okay, son, you're going to have to go. I'm going to have to put you, who is also free of sin, on the cross to absorb the impact of sin, to actually literally defeat sin, and make a way for my people, all human race, that I desire to be part of my family and that I wish to adopt, make a way for them to get to me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He didn't say we have to understand everything. He didn't say we needed to know everything. He said, believe. Understand that there are two forces at work, life and death, blessing and cursing. So time for you, as it has always been, today is the day of salvation. We automatically think religion. He's talking about a spiritual condition. Today is that day. Why? Because it can't be tomorrow. Why? Because we never live in tomorrow. He's not saying, I'm coming today. He could. That's his choice. But he's saying today. Anytime is today. Next Wednesday, when you get there, will be today. So you can talk about future and next all you want. It's still going to be today when you get there. Oh, give thanks to the Lord because his mercy, triumphing over the judgment he could have brought, not that judgment went away, not that judgment still exists. It's triumphing over judgment as long as we are here to take advantage of it or to access it, to benefit from it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. What is forever? We don't need to know what forever is. We're trying to figure out what forever is. Let me tell you what forever is for us right now. So we understand that that is eternity, but we are in time. Time is eternity manifested. So forever, on the one hand, is this eternal place that we cannot comprehend. And because we can't comprehend it, we say it doesn't exist or we try to make it something that it's not. But he's already told us it endures forever. So the best way for us to think about forever in order to understand eternity or even to gain access into eternity in that way is to know that right now, this is forever. We're in forever. As long as we have breath, we're in forever. Meaning, we have the opportunity to make decisions that align with eternity, eternal life. So you think about where you are right now in your life, whether you think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread or that you're not even a crumb. Doesn't matter, because he doesn't look at us that way. We look at us that way, and we look at other people that way. Any of us, he gave his life for all of us, for the entire human race that has existed, that is existing, and will ever exist. That's forever. Forever for us, or what makes that decision about what our status, I don't want to say status, God forbid, sorry about that, what our place with him, our position with God is, in eternity is determined by this part of forever. It's not he or she who dies with the most toys wins. That is a lie. It's been a lie. It's a lie the first time. Even after all the bumper stickers, it's still a lie. Even after all of the mindset training, it's still a lie. What God wants is for you to be free from a lot of the things that you and I have gone through, are going through, will go through on the rough side. But he also wants us to understand the beauty of his holiness and what that means for our deliverance and our obedience and our true freedom. He gave us that. So nobody, we can't manipulate God. Fool me once. Yeah, right. And then once becomes, oh, okay. But you don't have to be that with God. You want to be transparent. You want to be accepted. You want to be seen. You are all of those already. Already. He wouldn't have given his life if you weren't. It wasn't the crucifixion, because as I said earlier and in other segments, it wasn't the crucifixion that proved that Christ was Christ. It was the resurrection. That's how you know where the life is. What comes back to life? That is my experience. That is my experience. Not just because I read it, not just because I heard it from other people, not just because I went to church for most of my life. Because that's my experience, bringing the dead back to life, spirit, soul, and body, by the way. So understand, you're already accepted. He already sees you. The question is, when, under his mercy, will you accept him and receive him in truest fashion, in truest manner, in earnest, in good faith? It only takes the seed of the measure of faith is only, as he says, it's a small seed, but it produces a large harvest. God is faithful who promised. The word is not subject to our interpretation, even though we like to interpret for our convenience. God loves you, each and every one. Don't let anybody else tell you the difference. And why wouldn't we want that? Just because it's unknown? Yeah, everything is unknown, though. That's the nature of the thing. Everything is unknown. So don't let your cynicism, skepticism, anything you might be experiencing right now, keep you from the greatest love you'll ever know. Easy? No. Simple? Yes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of heaven, breath of heaven, Lord of heaven, daily bread, good shepherd, great physician. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the great provider, the one who not only provides for us, but provided himself for us, provides himself. Go look up all of those names. Jehovah Rapha, God of healing. The Lord God who is here. The Lord of blessing. The Lord of wholeness. Lord of the hosts. Go look them all up. That's what God is. That's who he is. But more importantly, that's who he is or can be to you. Not a slot machine. Not a vending machine. I will admit, though, kind of tongue-in-cheek, he is a washing machine because he will take you through some cycles to make sure, right? The washing of the water of the word. Dishwasher, washing machine, all of them have cycles. Why? To make sure that the vessels, the dishes that we serve other people on are clean. Why wouldn't God do the same thing for us, with us? If we are the vessels he uses to serve himself to the world, why wouldn't he want us clean? But that's not ours to do. He will take us on a walk. He'll just walk with me. Just follow me. Come on. You'd be like, where am I going? Speaking for myself. If you can relate, so be it. I don't want to go. Why? Why me? Just come on. Just come on. When you get finished with that, you still got to go. Come on. You're just taking a walk. That's what life is with the Lord. And as you go through the walk, he's doing what he needs to do. Your obedience, just in being willing to follow him and walk with him, is what will bring about your deliverance, cycle after cycle, season after season. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I bless you. I love you. Agape. I bless you and the entirety of your house, top to bottom, side to side, front to back, over into and through, and head to toe. Because God is faithful who promised. I pray for your unity in your families, in your friendships, in your relationships. I pray for unity in your spirit and congruence and coherence in your spirit, soul, and body. I pray for unity among us as humans and as those who believe. I bless you today, and I ask the Lord to continue to make himself known to you personally, because he is faithful to do that. Today is the day. My name is Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.